Florida's Elite Restoration is your first phone call whenever you have a disaster at your property. Storm damage, wind damage, flood, fire, mold, whatever it is, you call them first. Before you call your insurance company, get your free inspection with the greatest technology from experts in the field. And then you can decide how to proceed after getting expert advice. And Florida's Elite Restoration has decades of experience on the insurance side of the business. So they know all the tricks, all the angles to fight for you to get what you deserve, what you've paid for to restore your property. They're a one-stop shop. They can do the restoration as well as just your restore and replace. They've got it all covered. Check them out, floridaselite restoration.com. Check out their 5-star Google reviews. It's a very difficult business to have that kind of reputation. Check them out, floridaselite restoration.com. They serve the whole Bay Area. Mention Ira or joebucksfan.com when your first call, and you'll get $500 back if you use them after your free inspection. Simple as that. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers. End of the year savings end Monday. These are incredible offers, and that's the cutoff. BillCurryFord.com. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you're there to GM Sean Sullivan. You'll get the Ira Kaufman discount on everything. We're going to talk a lot more about them later through the podcast. BillCurryFord.com.
That makes no sense to me.
Game day, big Buccaneers game. I know you're all at the very edge of your seats. Can't wait to see the Bucks get to the playoffs. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Ira Kaufman.
Let me start the drumbeat. Tickets available. Tickets available. You've got time. Go get them.
Tickets available for today's 4:30 kickoff against the Panthers. That's the voice of Ira Kaufman, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, the man who was the unquestioned star of the Raise the Flags documentary, if you haven't watched it yet, on Amazon Prime. And I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Ira, this is a big weekend for the history of the Buccaneers. Let's just put it simply.
They probably should have waited till this season was over and added it to the documentary, because there's a lot of drama going on.
This is a historic year, but you know what? In the documentary, they glossed over a lot of history. They included a ton. It's a great watch, but the glot was glossed over. So this year, I think, will be glossed over as well when the next edition of the documentary comes out.
This is a very weird dynamic this weekend, Steve. Very, very weird. If you win, you're not necessarily in. If you're a Buck fan, it's very weird. Very weird.
To set the stage for those who don't know, if the Bucks beat the Panthers this afternoon,
they are favored, and they are favored.
I don't know who is making that decision, but to up their record to 8-9, the Panthers will be 8-9, and the future of the NFC South will hinge on Sunday's game, Saints at Falcons. Now, unfortunately, we would have to have the Saints win.
And the Buck fans rooting for the Saints.
To generate a three-way tie, to avoid a three-way tie with Atlanta, because the Bucks would lose a three-way tie. So the combination the Bucks need is Bucks win, Saints win in Atlanta. However, the Saints are without Chris Olave.
Who's coming on strong.
Who's coming on very strong with Tyler Shook, their rookie quarterback. And that's a huge firepower loss for the Saints.
And Atlanta's playing well now.
Well, the Saints have won 4 in a row, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But that's a fierce rivalry. That's some say that's the biggest rivalry in the NFL.
You think Raheem would like to knock the Bucs out of the playoffs? Would Raheem like that?
I'm not sure what Raheem is all about. But he's going to be screaming, and that's the Falcons head coach.
He's probably saving his job, Steve. Raheem. We'll see.
So, Ira Lee, what struck me most this week, and I have to ask you guys, is just the entire lifelessness around the Buccaneers, from the news conferences to this is a nationally televised 4:30 Saturday game with playoffs on the line. I'm not seeing national interviews of any Bucs players. I'm not seeing any local hype. I'm not seeing the Glazers doing extra advertising. Yes, there's a 13,000 bobbleheads being given away in honor of Mike Evans Saturday, but that was a longstanding promotion. And frankly, Ira, what I think has been not realized is that the sponsor of that, Fifth Third Bank, who's a corporate sponsor of the Bucks, this was planned a long time ago, and I think it was mostly to celebrate Mike Evans getting another 1,000-yard season, because this would have been the time of year, if Evans had stayed healthy, where all the hype would have been about 1,000 yards.
And he's the sole record holder.
And either he was going to get it on Sunday, on Saturday this week, or he already got it and everyone's celebrating him. So it didn't work out, but I've seen speculation that people think, oh, Bucks are giving away bobbleheads. That must mean Mike Evans is going to retire. That's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
I think you're hitting a critical point, Steve. You said lifelessness. It's more than the scoreboard. You know, Lee, you can go through a slump and you can lose some games that maybe even you thought you should win. But it's how they're playing. It's how they're playing. And I don't want to overstate it, but you and I were there this week. There seems to be like an air of resignation around one Buck place. Might be hyperbole. I might be reading too much into it. Even Baker Mayfield didn't have a lot of juice at the podium. And facing an elimination game, you thought he'd be all revved up. And now his right shoulder's bothering him. They're going to be missing Dean. Nelson makes a play once in a while, a big one. He's not playing. Who knows about Wirfs? Things don't look good for the home team, Lee. And if I'm a Carolina fan, I'm very confident going into this weekend. Very confident.
The last time this team had any kind of juice was when they played at New Orleans. And the defense.
That's right. After you had your third bowl of gumbo that week.
Probably about 12 hours later. And probably,
there you go.
The last time this team had any kind of juice was at New Orleans when the defense absolutely kicked the slimy Saints' ass. And that's the last time they had any kind of defensive effort, if you ask me. They haven't looked the same since. I mean, there's all kinds of rumors about what happened when the Bucks were 4-2, when Raheem's last year, and they just beat the slimy Saints. Quincy Black picked off Drew Brees in the end zone, and the Bucks were 4-2. I think they might have been in first place in the division.
Yep.
And everything was looking awesome. The year before, they won 10 games, and everybody was flying high. They go to London, they get their ass kicked by the Bears. Ernest Graham blows out of the Achilles.
And this is the Youngry team. The Youngry team for Raheem.
They were something. How about Youngry? And Ernest Graham gets his Achilles blown out. They were never the same. I hear rumors about all kinds of shenanigans that went on over there. I guess the one that most people know about is Raheem and Talib got into it in a hotel lobby. But there were other things that both saucy and suspicious happened, and I heard stories about, and they were never the same. And 2011 reminds me so much of this year. The Bucks looked like they were 6-2. I'll get to that in a second. They were 6-2. They go to New Orleans. The defense stomps the Saints. Mayfield was hurt. He couldn't hardly do anything. That defense dominated.
Well, this
game.
Time you can't blame it on going international. They didn't go anywhere.
Well, something happened in the bye. I don't know what that was. Maybe they did go international during the bye. Went to the Dominican, went to Venezuela, whatever the hell. Something happened because that is a completely different team than I saw in New Orleans. Completely different defense. And I have the perfect word for the Bucks the past few weeks. You're talking juice. You're talking this.
Energy.
Lethargic.
It's not bad.
Lethargic. They're just going through the motions. You use the word resignation. I use the word anticipation. They're anticipating going on vacation.
All right, I'm going to kick this off right to you right here, Isbitz. You're going to love this one. You ready?
You don't know I'm going to love anything.
Here we go. Now, they never take my advice. Sometimes they should, like throwing the ball downfield. Take my advice once in a while. I got another one, Steve. It's just for this week. If you win the coin toss, you kick off. Not for that double-double thing. You kick off.
Yep.
And you tell your guys, don't kick it into the end zone. Let them run it back.
Oh.
And then you flatten the guy returning the ball. I don't care how much you got to pay a bonus. I didn't say hurt him. You got to flatten him and get this crowd excited. And I want to see everybody else on that field excited in a Buck uniform. And you tell the Panthers, we're here to play ball and kick your
this
ass.
This is absurd.
Okay, Sean Payton, so you want to pay off someone for a large hit. Meanwhile, they get the ball, they being Carolina, on the Bucks 40.
I'm putting my faith in a big hit. You got 11 guys, hit somebody. Set a tone, Steve. Set the tone. And you say I'm crazy because the guy's going to go 70 yards.
You're asking to potentially put the Bucks defense on the field more than the offense. That's insane. Let the offense have the ball first and hope for the best.
Oh, well, we saw how that worked out in Miami. You went up 7-0 and you fell apart. You did nothing after that. 8 consecutive drives. You do my thing.
All right.
And you tell the defense, you're going to show up or you're not going to show
up.
Well,
I'm a firm believer in a Bobby Bowden theory. You kick off because that way you talk about double-double.
You score late
and you got to score early. And Mike Lombardi calls it the middle eight. I call it the Bobby Bowden theory. It worked for him. It worked for him. It ought to work for
both. We making too much of this energy thing. physicality?
No. Blee was talking about the team's been dead since the bye. They've shown some flashes, but it's never been anything consistent.
No.
You know, what really, I think, should have shaken ownership, as well as, you know, obviously shook every fan. The Bucks had scored 28 points on offense with more than 13 minutes to go in the Atlanta game a few weeks ago. That's a tremendous explosive offensive showing. You got 28 on the board with 13 and a half minutes left. And then they didn't score again, and they really haven't had a good offense since. And there's really no excuse right now. So,
And to Lee's point about the 6-2 at the bye, they were less healthy than they are since the bye.
Yes.
So you can't use that. It's not like late injuries. It's the early injuries, and they were 6-2.
Everybody was talking about when they get healthy, when they get Evans back, when they get McMillan back, and the Bucks will take off. And the exact opposite happened.
Ira, I put some fresh batteries in our Todd Bowles survival meter, so we're going to test that later. But
those numbers are stunning, Steve. Stunning.
But what I have to ask you now, and because that's really the question Bucks fans most have, I got to ask you now, and we're going to get to the meat of this in our survival meter that we get to. But can you make a case for Todd Bowles to stay as head coach? Do you have can you find logical arguments of why he deserves another season? Now, I'm not asking you, would you fire him today? I'm saying, can you make a case?
I think you could make a significantly better case if they win later today and finish 8-9. If they finish 7-10, Lee, you got a flimsy case to make. It's flimsy. It's hard to make it. You'd have to talk about injuries undermining this team, and that doesn't really work. It really doesn't work.
To me, that's the only thing he can fall back on. There's various things I wrote in the last couple of days related to the Bucks, but related to Bowles' situation, related to raise the flags, some eye-opening things I saw. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I'm piece by piece. What I can't figure out is everybody and their brother knew the Bucks have injuries on the offensive line. Jeremy Fowler this past week wrote how they've got third-string guards right now. They're starting. I emphasize once again, everybody knew they had problems the offensive line because of injuries. Why the hell couldn't you find a backup guard, a second string guard, not a third string, not a practice squad dude, a second string guard who's on his last year of his contract, who they could get for one measly third day draft pick? Is the ransom that unbearable that you couldn't part with a sixth round pick to get a capable guy in here?
I'm a little surprised you're questioning Jason Light.
Well, it's too obvious. I love Jason Light, but that's so obvious. Why did that not happen?
And Steve, along those lines, you have to acknowledge this Klein kid didn't work out, or he'd be playing.
Two quick things, Ira. One, to be fair to the Light, maybe Bowles told him, I can handle it. We can manage it. We can take care of it. Don't worry about it. I don't know that. Number two, you brought up Klein. I'll say it again. People get mad at me for saying this, but I've got a backup plan here.
This Elijah Klein, sixth round pick from last year, really hasn't played much, played a little bit early this season.
Once again, I asked Steve to back me up. Does that guy, we've seen him in the locker room. People are like, whoa, I see what is waiting. No, Steve and I have seen him. Steve, does he look like an NFL guard?
Not the typical one.
No.
He looks much better than he did last year, but he still doesn't look big and strong enough developed.
He looks like a bouncer at Ferg's.
I'll say it again. If they liked him, he'd be playing.
All right, quick one, Ira. You said Bucks lose, flimsy case.
So you're
telling me that it's significantly a better case if they actually beat Carolina? What's the difference there? And then the difference is
you showed some fight. Your team showed some fight. 8-9 sounds a lot better than 7-10. You stopped the bleeding.
A little too late?
Could be. But at 7-10, I'm just saying you have very little case.
Lock the door, throw away the key. You know what, Ira? Actually, I was looking on the secondary market earlier this week. I haven't checked today, but ticket prices hadn't come down that far. So I think maybe there's a little more interest in the game, but there's still going to be plenty of empty and cheap seats around.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of Panther fans, right, Steve?
I don't know.
I don't think.
You know, listening to Cam Newton and watching some video and paying attention to Carolina media this week, a lot of juice up there. And I think a lot of Bucks fans don't realize that this is a Carolina team that their fans have fallen back in love with, something the opposite is happening in Tampa. And they haven't been to the playoffs in years. Dave Canales, big, high-energy guy.
They're going to bring a lot of juice.
And they're going to bring everything they got. This is their whole season on the line. They win and they're in. There's no caveat for them. And, you know, he's been preaching to them all year. Give us a chance at a meaningful game. I've watched a lot of his news conferences and things. So, anyway,
Hold on, Steve. I want to say one thing along those lines. And I just thought of this. If the Bucks had a scenario like Carolina does, win and you're in, instead of win and now you got to wait till Sunday at 4 o'clock. Lee, if it was win or you're in, I think the Bucks would approach this game differently. And I think they'd have a much more chance of coming in with a lot of energy and a lot of juice.
What?
I do. Carolina is black and white. Win and you're in. The Bucks are thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute. We could win this game and still get screwed on Sunday, so to speak. I think that's going to hurt them. I think the whole scenario hurts the Bucks.
What's confusing me is you said their approach. Are you talking game strategy or I don't get
their passion. Their energy.
Okay.
I think
passion and energy. Lose and they're out of the playoffs. What more do you want?
But winning, you're not necessarily in. I think that matters. It complicates things. It's a complication. We don't need complications. So Carolina says win and we're in. So I think your that
doctor,
helps.
Is that what your doctor says?
Now, if the Bucks lose this game, I'm not going to blame it on the scenario.
So they're hugging their teddy bears, sad that they may have to root for the Saints on Sunday?
By the way, shouldn't the NFL have tried to make these two games at the same time? I mean, did they screw up?
At the same time?
The Atlanta game and the Bucks game somehow.
Well, you're getting into Chris Russo territory. I heard your last appearance on Russo. Russo's always wanted the NFL screwed this up. They screwed this up. But they have people, three or four people on staff, big money. All they do is make decisions for TV. And, oh, by the way, the ratings are through the roof. Chris, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Relax.
But they did know the Atlanta factor going in.
They gambled that Atlanta would lose to the Rams like most people would.
Okay.
Lee did.
Yeah.
So we're a moment of silence for Lee's bank account. But
I made up over a college weekend.
There you go. Sage, our show is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side, family owned since 1960. Bill Curry Ford, Curry's the family name, and all the incredible year-end offers, they go through Monday.
Through Monday.
So you have got to hustle and be smart. Zero money down, all the 0% financing offers. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. Don't forget to ask Bill Curry Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan for the Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman discount. You will get it. It's not a figment of your imagination.
And they're open Sunday, Steve.
If you want to buy a vehicle this morning, Saturday, go for it. All right, Ira, look, this is a kind of a stunning quote, and this needs
Is it by me? Is it from me, Steve?
No, it's not one of your stunning quotes,
right.
Although you're saying that the case for Todd Bowles is flimsy if he loses Saturday.
It's a little better if he wins. It's a little better if he wins.
I'm not sure how much, but all right, a little better. Okay, so, Ira, here's this stunning quote. I talked to Rashad White in the locker room, and he explains, this was after the...
I saw that story, Steve. Did you get him by yourself?
Yeah, I talked to him solo.
That's extraordinary.
Not really. I just said, hey, Rashad, and he
well,
answered
but I
my
mean,
question.
The quotes are very telling.
Well, Rashad White says regarding, I asked him, you know, what would you tell fans? What's gone wrong since the bye week? And he says, I don't know. He says, it boils down to, for me, how I look at it, just being honest. We all just got to look in the mirror. We got to have a level of pride, a level of care. And here's the big one, Ira. He says, and right now, we all just are kind of floating around and blowing in the wind.
What is this, Bob Dylan?
Lee, what is that? You know, a veteran player on your team says that, oh, we're just floating around.
Lee, when's the last time you were accused of floating in the wind?
Blowing in the wind. And he says, I think we need to come out with our piss hot and let's see what happens.
It's there we go. I like that.
What is that?
Is your piss hot, Lee?
I can promise you, I can't remember the last time I ever listened to Bob Dylan purposely. For whatever reason, David Lee Roth's famous lyric, we found a dirty faced kid in a garbage can, springs to mind. But the Bucks are.
What about Rashad White saying we're floating around? What's going on?
Like I said earlier, this team is just lethargic. They're not locked in. They're not focused. Steve perfectly said it a couple weeks ago in a story. They've taken on the personality of their coach. I love Todd Bowles, and to me, what the guy does on the sidelines doesn't mean spit in the big picture. But you have to ask me, I'd take a Bowles over a Gruden any day. I don't like the Tasmanian devil shtick. I like thinking. You know, like Tom Landry said, they asked him one time, why don't you get excited on the sideline? He goes, if I get excited, I'm not thinking. And that's what I was taught by my coach.
And he lasted 29 years.
Well, my high school coach did not, but he learned that from Landry. He always said, you get emotional, you're not thinking. Football is a thinking man's game. You got to be thinking all the time. Give me the cigar store Indian like Bulls. But having said that, this team, why should we expect it to be excited? Like I said, they haven't been excited since they beat New Orleans 2 months ago. They've been blah most of the outs, a play here or there, a quarter here or there. But they've been blah ever since. Their coach is blah. He doesn't provide excitement to the players that we can tell. So when Rashard White's saying this, it's like, well, yeah, we can see it.
I know you don't want to hear this, but I think they showed a little energy in Buffalo.
They
did. I think they played with some energy.
They did.
And their coach let them down.
Now, they didn't play smart in the fourth quarter, but they played with energy.
No, they were still.
Their coach and their defense let them down.
They got clobbered on special teams. Huge return after huge return after huge return. After the game, Bulls said, well, we're thinking about kicking it out of bounds, but we didn't do that, or kicking it out the back of the end zone. The defense was horrid beyond horrid.
Now it is Josh Allen. It is.
And
it's
I asked
Josh
everybody
Allen.
In that locker room that I, you know, thought had a, I'm not talking about the guys on the bottom of the roster, but I asked a lot of guys, and they were like, oh, no, we're good. We're on the right track. What? What game did you watch?
The game's the game everybody's going to look back on is the Atlanta game, Lee. I'm sorry. That's the game.
That's big, but you know what? To me, the Buffalo game was bigger because that was a winnable game ready to be picked up and run with, and he punted. That, remember, what, fourth and one from the
he
third?
He punted,
line, and
yeah.
He punted. That is like, have you watched your defense play? I mean, it's like, and to me, that was the turning point. Yes, Atlanta was big, no question. But to me, the turning point in the season was that moment when he decided to punt, thinking his defense would hold Josh Allen.
I was very intrigued to hear Rondé Barber. This goes back a couple of months ago, and there were others who said the same thing, but Barber obviously has a lot of credibility. He was stunned that Todd Bowles gave the team a full week off at the bye week. There were a couple of practice options that he passed on. He gave him a full week. And they never recovered.
That's interesting.
So, I mean, yeah, that's just something to
think
about.
We're looking for tea leaves, Lee, and that could be one of them.
To be fair, the Bulls, they were pretty beat up. I mean,
well, you don't have to play them. You can bring them in the building and work on. Okay. They had no meeting. They didn't have to show up.
Meetings, I can understand.
Meeting, yeah.
But, yeah.
Something to think about as we eventually dissect this season.
Can you imagine them finishing 7-10? Now we got to think about it. 7-10?
Right, think it's a very real possibility.
Oh, it's a historic collapse. 7-10 would truly be up there in the annals of history. For Bucks history. But, Ira, here's one for you regarding today's game. A stat. So, the Panthers have had 10 different offensive line combinations play 50 or more snaps together. That leads the NFL. The Bucks are second at 9. So, the core of this team entering the season was the offensive line. They're young. They're all under 20, 27 and under.
Coming off a great season.
Coming off a great year. They're big. They're ornery. They run the ball. They pass block. That's the strength of the team, and that got decimated. That's not on Bowles. We talked about not having the backups they needed to necessarily have to succeed more. But look, here are the Panthers with more combinations on their O-line, with a team that showed a devastating running game. And Bryce Young, while he moves around, he's not a scrambling quarterback, far less yards than Mayfield. Here they are about to win the division.
But, Steve, to your point, Steve, to be fair.
Yeah.
They got a lousy offense. They got a lousy offense.
I'm saying it's not unique to the Bucks. You can't. They're not the worst in the league when it comes to these combinations. And it's kind of ironic that they're facing the Panthers, who have had the most O-line issues.
Guys, here's another way to look at today's game. You know, let's talk about three or four guys and how it could affect them. I'll start with Lavonnie David and Mike Evans. I mean, if the Bucks lose and are eliminated, and they finish 7-10. Is that a team you want to come back to?
Exactly.
Necessarily, especially with the way Mayfield's been finishing up.
Exactly.
Cade Otton, you know, is probably have to hit free agency.
He's not coming back.
I don't think.
And Mayfield, I think it's a big game for Mayfield.
Well, Mayfield's under contract. Number one, number two, didn't he get a nice raise last year?
No, they just locked in, gave him
guaranteed.
More guaranteed money.
No, to me, the thing is Evans. He wants to win so bad. He doesn't want to go out on a losing team, a losing record. So if they get a coach in, let's say they bring a defensive coach in, and he's not happy with who the guy picks as offensive coordinator, hell with it. I'll go play for Andy Reid my last year.
Or retire.
But I think I think he still has the fire burning in him, but he doesn't want to go out on a losing record.
Yeah, Ira, you said, is that a team you want to come back to? I think it comes back to the coach. Is that a coach you want to come back to? We'll get more into that.
All eyes on the Bucks and Panthers nationally.
Nationally. And, you know, the Nationals, you know, we know they're not sitting there watching. The national media isn't sitting there pouring over the Bucks-Dolphins game, which is why so many of them, honestly, are picking the Bucks, because they really haven't seen how bad it's been for the Buccaneers and how far they've fallen and just how they implode. We've seen it, though, and, you know, I know we're not high on the Bucks winning this game. We'll give our picks in the next segment, but there's still some stuff to get through, and maybe the Bucks can win this game. There are certainly reasons why.
They're favored.
But we talked before, offensive line, Panthers have missed a bunch of time. The team with the most lineups that have played 50 snaps or more on the offensive line is the Panthers. Bucks are number two. I know, Lee, you got some other data on the Bucks O-line that just came out, actually issued by the NFL.
Well, Next Gen Stats, and I'm probably the number one, Ira, I'm probably the number one culprit about this. I always point to the injuries on the offensive line. And when we talk about injuries, you know, I always bring up, well, look at San Francisco. You know, they've had more injuries than the Bucks, and yet Mr. Clean's been able to have a pretty decent defense. So,
and a lot tougher division, too.
And a lot tougher division. Thank you, Ira. You're right. So here's this came out on Twitter from the NFL. Most unique offensive line combinations this year per Next Gen Stats. They have the top 16s, which means they're juggling their offensive line all year. The Bucs are not among them. The Chargers have the most. The Packers have more than the Bucs. Yet I think they're making the playoffs, aren't they?
Is there a minimum snaps number there?
No.
Because like some teams will bring in just one guy to on the goal line, extra heavy blocker.
I'm assuming you can decipher whatever you wish. Here it is. Most unique O-line combinations per Next Gen Stats. Chargers 29, Browns 28, Slimy Saints 28. I added Slimy. Packers 25. Lions 25,
got it.
Vikings 25.
Let's not minimize the impact of the injuries on the Buck offensive line. Let's not minimize it.
I'm not minimizing it, but I'm saying teams have overcome. Teams have overcome. Something I learned from my old man. I guess he got it from his Navy days. Adapt, adjust, overcome. And he always told me that. Adapt, adjust, overcome. So I'm as guilty as anyone. I always bring up the injuries on the offensive line. This information shows that shouldn't be a deal breaker, and it shouldn't be a reason why a team goes from 6-2 to potentially 7-10.
Mark, he's probably the most physical guy up there. They miss him. They miss that physicality. The backups are weak. There's no question about it. And even worse, hasn't been the same player. I'm picking my old pro team next week. I'm sending it in. Worse isn't going to make it. He's not going to be a... first or second team All-Pro. Not this season. And he hasn't been 100%. The injuries are significant on the offensive line. And last year, the continuity went a long way in a very prolific offense, averaging 28 points.
There's no question about it. When you have a health, and you've brought this up several times. Over the years.
They've been very lucky.
Yeah,
up there.
You bring this up a lot. And by the way, when I see people, you know, and Ira, I'm sure you get people Twittering you this or emailing you this. The Bucks need to fire their medical staff. I'm like, what? I said, the Bucks have had great luck with injuries on the offensive line and overall for years.
Special quarterback position, very fortunate, fortunate.
And all of a sudden they have a rash of injuries and everybody wants to, can this guy, can that guy.
I said one of these years it's going to catch up to him, and I'm sorry that I turned out to be right.
Well, the O-line stuff, it's hard to gauge. I mean, there's a lot of data, obviously. There's 50 snaps or more, the Bucs had the second most combinations on the O-line. But what complicates it is the Bucs were 3-0 with
a makeshift line.
Wacky offensive line.
Beat Houston with their two defensive ends.
Held off Houston by a thread with the O-line constantly caving in, but they still won the game.
Mop getting hurt and Gedeki getting hurt. I got a question about the offensive line. Now, this was asked of Grizzard a month ago, maybe. I might even asked it. And he denied it, of course. I think it's fair to say Barton has struggled this year. Do you think him starting the season at left tackle has kind of, I don't know about the word regress, but stunted his growth at center?
Well, he's been healthy, and he has not played up to, I don't think he's played up to the level of his rookie season. He was okay at left tackle. He ain't no worse. Let's put it like that. But they won. They won with him.
They won.
And Bredesen at center. I could see a change next year. Maybe Bredesen moves into the middle, and Barnes not going to the bench. You know, you put him at left guard or whatever.
Well, that's interesting you would say that.
But I think going forward, it's still the strength of the team, Lee. When they're healthy.
Which I think, Ira, makes it a very attractive job. Like, I really think the Bucks are probably a top two most attractive opening when, in my mind, Todd Bowles gets fired at the end of the season. So, you know, you've got a top shelf, especially if you want an offensive-minded head coach. We would assume the Glazers do because that's what most teams want, and they've paid the price for the rotating offense.
Stacked receivers room if Evans comes
stacked
back.
Stacked receivers room, young, quality offensive line, and you've got some talent at running back.
You didn't mention Mayfield. How does the guy feel about Mayfield? It's a big factor.
Well, I mean, he's still a veteran, multi-year Pro Bowl quarterback who has shown a lot in his career, and you got a lot to work with there. He's not old. He's not young. I would think that's attractive, even if a coach comes in and the ownership tells him, yeah, we got Mayfield, and, you know, if we feel we want to draft a quarterback, we're not going to be scared.
That's just that. Do you think that makes the potential opening even more attractive if the Glazers say, you've got a veteran quarterback to work with, and if you feel that you can't win long-term with him, we'll just go out and draft somebody, and it'll be your call. Do you think that makes it more?
I do. I think you guys are right. It's an attractive job. It is. You don't have a crazy owner. You know, generally they're patient.
No salary cap. No salary cap troubles.
I have no David Tepper.
Although he's feeling his oats this year, especially if they win later today. You know, you'll see him do a little dance, a little jig on the sidelines.
So?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Canales is doing a whale of a job. He's not going to win Coach of the Year. In fact, they want us to name five names for these different awards. Five names. Canales is probably not going to get his name mentioned because I've never seen a year like this with Coach of the Year. I can give you all kinds of candidates. But anyway.
What do they have you rank them like your select?
I think you rank them. Think you rank them. Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing when Canales interviewed for the job with Tepper, if someone told Tepper, hey, in 2 years you'll have a playoff team, he would have done backflips.
Yeah. And Panther fans, they love Canales. What's not to love?
High energy guy, but also you've got the NFC South. If I were a coach, I'd want to jump into the NFC South.
That's another good one.
I don't want to go to the.
That's another good one.
Somewhere else.
This division might be tough in a very short time.
Well, you can only look at what's in front of you. And
Penix, if he pans out,
maybe if the Saints quarterback. Yeah, yeah.
But most divisions have somebody who already has panned out versus an if. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to the NFC East where you've got
Prescott, two quarterbacks.
And Jaden Daniels will be back.
Jalen Hurts.
Prescott's leading that's the top offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'm not screaming for Jackson Dart yet, but he looks talented. It's an attractive job. So, Ira, that brings us to our Todd Bowles survival meter. And I'm just going to ask you, where do you think he sits right now? Is there a scenario that he stays? My humble opinion and belief, and as a student of the Buccaneers, is that he's dead coach walking. Everything screams this guy doesn't have it, and the ownership has to see it.
Well, like Lee points out, and I think very astutely, Lee's looking for historical precedent under the current ownership group, not what you Culverhouse did. And under Lee's, thesis, a terrible ending, arrow going down, spells a lot of trouble for the coach.
Spells doom.
Spelled doom in the past. Steve, you mentioned this is a historic collapse. The only things we can relate this to is 2011 and 2008. Both ended with a coaching change. Sometimes it wasn't the day after. Sometimes they waited. Gruden, I think they waited.
It was like right before the Super Bowl. What?
One of the things that might help Bowles, Lee, is that I don't think there's a consensus guy out there that everybody's salivating over. So, in the words of Lee DeKemper, if you make a change, you better get somebody who's better. Mm-hmm. And that's something that already might be being looked at.
What do you think when Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put out someone will have to, if they lose to Carolina, someone will have to pay?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, at the very least, Steve, I think the defensive coaching staff would be in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
But it makes no sense. But those are Bowles' hand-picked guys. You going to let him re-hand-pick because he couldn't figure
it out? Well, they're Arians guys that Bowles kept.
No, Bowles could have launched anybody he wanted. It's been many years. He launched offensive guys. He kept the defensive guys. Launched Byron Leftwich. What, he couldn't launch his edge rusher
if he stays, Lee, if he stays, how's he going to make the case for the defensive coaches to the Glazers?
It's a hard sell, I would think.
It's a hard sell. And, to be fair, what's been exposed a little bit, are some problems with the roster. There's some cracks. Mm-hmm. There's some problems. That front seven on defense, it's got some cracks.
You think if the Glazers, you know, the Glazers did this with Dungy about the offense. You got to bring an offensive coordinator. You know, Les Steckel turned out to be Les Steckel.
He didn't do that bad a job.
No. I'm not saying he did. But do you think the Glazers really lean on balls? You got to bring in a defensive coordinator.
That makes no sense to me. That's the part,
because you're
flipping
his wings, Steve's, right?
Why would you keep him? Why would you keep him?
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You're going to come in and run somebody else.
If that's his forte, Lee.
Yeah.
You know, play calling on defense.
His forte isn't firing up the team. His forte isn't getting them not to lose to four not very good teams in a row. It's not like they lost to some great teams. They got just run over by four not very good teams, four quarterbacks that none of us would want on the Buccaneers. Fired up for game day, Ira. What an interesting game is coming. Ira Kaufman.
Tickets available.
Ira Kaufman.
I'm sorry, Lee.
That's a good one. Tickets available.
Make your year by going to Bill Curry Ford now. Bill Curry Ford, family-owned since 1960. The dealership is 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. On the east side, get to BillCurryFord.com. All the incredible 0% financing offers and the year-end offers and the discounts and all the cool stuff, it runs through Monday. And reach out through the website, BillCurryFord.com, to General Manager Sean Sullivan. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan discount. And this is just where you want to do business because they're family owned and they take that extra step and it makes a difference. A mile north of the stadium, BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget their mobile service. They can do all kinds of things for your vehicle right at your home for no additional charge. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, look, we were cut off there talking about our Todd Bowles survival meter, but we got to ask you the hard questions, Ira. When would he get fired if the Bucks lose? Or do you hold out any hope that he would, or feeling that he might stay? But if the Bucks lose today, when would he get fired?
I think Monday. Black Monday. You know, I know the game Saturday. He could be fired Sunday. I understand that. If they lose 7-10, they make an announcement on Monday if they're going to go that way. It's hard to make a case for him at 7-10, Lee. It's just very difficult. You know, not to, if they play, they show no juice today and lose. I mean, what are you going to say? Going forward, what's the confidence meter? And as you point out, they are aware of the fan reaction to a head coach. That's not the main reason they fire a guy. But with Gruden, it entered into it. Fans were turned off on Gruden. They didn't trust him anymore. Not so much with Raheem. Not so much because, you know, I don't know that expectations were that high. But expectations were high for this team.
Yeah.
And in a way, they screwed themselves with the 5-1 and 6-2 start. You know, maybe they weren't that good pulling games out of their ass the first 3 weeks of the season.
Good teams do that.
Good teams do that. And now they can't make plays in the fourth quarter. They just can't. So I'm going with Black Monday if it happens. You think it could happen Sunday, right, Lee?
It could, but you know what? I can only go by history. The Glazers have been all over the map when they got rid of coaches. Dirk Cutter was a couple of hours. Lovie Smith was a few days. John Gruden was at least 2 weeks. I seem to recall it was like 10 days before the Super Bowl. It was a Friday afternoon, that I remember. But it wasn't the Friday right before the Super Bowl. It was a Friday before Super Bowl week. And that particular Super Bowl wasn't in Pittsburgh and Arizona right here in Tampa.
Yeah.
So they're all over the map when they decide to get rid of people. I'm not sure about how long they took to say goodbye to Dungy.
You think there could be mixed feelings among the Glazers, among the Glazer clan, about Bowles?
On when to fire him?
Whether to fire him or not.
Look, whenever you have a lot of people, there could be mixed feelings. Ira, you really think that the Glazers are going to torture Todd Bowles by letting him toss and turn Saturday night, Sunday night, and fire him on Monday? That's cruel.
They did it with Lovie Smith. Yeah. If I don't remember, but I assume he did the season wrap-up, and then he got fired.
Levante David freaked out on Twitter, and then a lot of players were unhappy because the Bucks had gone 6-6 that season. Lost their last four. Sound familiar?
Rich McKay was not happy about Lovie being fired. He thought that was underhanded.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. If the Bucks have a coaching change, that I'm convinced bye-bye Levante David. But I think he's going to retire anyway. But we know Levante cannot stand coaching changes. Because remember when they hired Arians? Levante said he was going to retire. He went to Arians. He was going to say, I'm done with this, you know. And Arians talking, well, just give us a chance. We're going to win here. And he got a ring out of that. And obviously he's been playing with Bowles as his defensive coordinator since 2019. So if Bowles is not retained, bye-bye, Levante.
I wonder who the heir apparent to Levante David is as the defensive captain.
I think he's
plenty of time for that. All right, what does Todd Bowles need to do to stay, in your opinion? Win a playoff game?
Under these circumstances?
Yes, of course.
They got to win today. They got to play well today and not have Carolina turn, you know, self-destruct. Beat Carolina. Outplay Carolina. And then let the chips fall, and they got no control over Atlanta and New Orleans. And then, you know, make his case that injury sunk the team. Absolutely sunk the team. Levante got older. He's not the same player. McCollum regressed. Well, isn't that on the coach? So you could turn everything back to Bowles.
Yeah.
You really could. They lose today. I think he's got almost no case to make.
That's not what I asked you, buddy. I said, what does he have to do to stay? Win a playoff game?
Well, a month ago I said, because I kind of assumed that they were going to win the division, I said, play credibly in the playoff game and don't lose 27-10. Now I think just making the playoffs would probably be enough to save him. Making the playoffs.
Will be enough to save
him? Which I think is unlikely. I think it's unlikely that they're going to make the playoffs. It's unlikely. If I'm a Carolina fan, I like their chances. They got two chances.
Beat
the Bucks or root for Atlanta. The Bucks, I'll root for the Saints. I'm sorry.
I know this phrase is way overused, but I think it's apropos for this game. Carolina probably wants it more.
They're playing better than the Bucks. I can't believe I'm saying that. They're playing better. They have a better team right now.
I can't believe it. They just beat them 2 weeks ago.
I know.
I don't know.
Oh, by the way,
do you think the Glazers are that enamored with Todd Bowles?
I didn't say they're enamored with
him. Well, then why would they bring him back?
Because they're hesitant to make coaching changes, and they...
What hesitation? He's been here 4 years.
They think this team is hanging together well. There's not a lot of issues off-field. You see what's happening with other teams.
Yeah.
You know,
hanging together.
They don't have Stephon Diggs on this team and worried about the police blotter.
Or Trevon Diggs.
And that kind of stuff matters to the Glazers.
All right, not going to argue.
But if this team was so tightly, wouldn't they be kicking somebody's ass right now?
You would think so.
You would think so. You would think so.
To their credit, if there is in-house intrigue, shall we say, they've kept the lid on it.
I don't think it's crazy to think that a coach who makes the playoffs year after year can keep his job. I don't think that's crazy. But there is a tremendous fan backlash against Bowles. There's no question about it.
If you want my... Yeah. How does Bowles save his job?
Please.
Win two playoff games. Win two playoff games. He's saved. Get to the NFC title game. Win two playoff games.
So Lee says, win two playoff games. The Glazers will. That secures it. That locks the door. He's back.
That's a high bar, Lee.
That's a high bar. I think
that's a high bar.
I think from ownership perspective, I think he only needs to win one playoff game. So, Ira, I don't know what Ira thinks.
I mean, play well in that playoff game.
You're driving me crazy.
I know where Ira's coming from.
All right, Ira, I'm just going to go predict Bucks lose today 30-21. And
no suspense on Sunday.
No suspense on Sunday. They're not playing well. There's nothing other than a prayer that they light up the scoreboard with their weapons. And I think the rest of the team is just soft. You know, if they can do that, maybe there's a chance, but I think they're...
Can Carolina score that many points?
Two-score loss. Against the Bucks, anything's possible, Ira.
All right, I'll go in the middle. The way they're playing, Lee, the way they're playing. And Carolina's got this crazy lose and then win. Lose and then win. Based on that pattern, they're due to win today. They're playing better than the Bucks. They look more motivated than the Bucks.
Bingo.
And for that reason, I'm picking the visitors because I've been sticking with the Bucks and it's killing my record. They're killing me.
Are you still winning the record?
I don't know. I've been in trouble here. I'm on a losing streak.
Yeah,
anyway,
I had such a lead that
took
it away.
Carolina 23-21, and the Bucks season ends today.
Well, I guess I'll make it three in a row. And if this was a ESPN game day, everybody would have screenshots putting all over Twitter. All these guys, everybody picked against the Bucks. I have money on Carolina. Unfortunately, I have no faith in the Bucks defense. I just don't have any faith in it at all. And I could easily see, and it would sort of be like twisting the dagger, for Carolina to have a game-winning field goal in the final seconds.
Oof.
I could just see that. So Carolina wins. I'm thinking it's going to be a dreadful game. I say 13-10 Carolina.
Somber times, Bucks fans. Somber times. Let's hope we are wrong and we are talking playoffs.
Steve, can you imagine this crazy scenario where the Bucks win? They beat their division rival. They stay alive. But in the locker room, and we'll be there, it's muted. It's muted. There's no celebration going on. How can they celebrate until they find out what the hell happens in Atlanta?
I see what you're saying.
It's muted.
I see what you're saying.
They're just walking around like zombies. We don't know what's going on.
Yet you think the Glazers are going to be okay with a team that would walk around with zombies and keep the coach. That's crazy. You're saying this is what's going to happen. They're going to be zombies even if they win, yet you think the ownership is going to think that's cool, bring the good leader back. That's
well,
crazy.
They're zombies because it's a weird scenario, Lee. It's yeah. weird. It's just
really
weird.
Most teams win, they're excited. Zombies.
Ira, could Rod...
Come on. Zombies.
Could Rod Serling... Write an episode about
yes.
it.
I just saw one called To Serve Man. It turned out to be a cookbook. The guy said,
really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a cookbook. They're going to eat the human beings and something like that.
Just for everybody under the age of 55, Rod Serling created Twilight Zone.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Ira, what's the most Bucks thing that could happen this
The most Bucks thing that could happen is the Bucks win.
By three scores.
And Atlanta wins with a last-second field goal. From 55 yards out when Atlanta was losing by 2 points. That is the most Buck thing that could happen.
It's a big game, I think, for Mayfield. Because if he, let's say he just has a four touchdowns, player NFC player of the week, Baker Mayfield, four touchdowns, 300-something yards, runs for three first downs, NFC player of the week, they win, they miss the playoffs. It's going out with the arrow up, and he wants a new contract. It's interesting.
Especially if they make a coaching change, it could affect the way that the potential next coach looks at Mayfield, too. Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think we're going to be talking about, Lee, on the next podcast?
I think it's fair to say that odds makers in Vegas would probably suggest the Bucks have a coaching change.
Off with his head.
If the Bucks lose, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, wouldn't that leave Bowles at exactly a 500 record?
I think so.
With the Bucks? I think it,
right regular season, you're talking.
Regular season.
Yeah. Playoffs, he's already under, but
Steve,
it's bad.
Steve wrote a great story this week. Most of his stories are great. You know, you're not perfect, but most of your stories. But he compared Bowles' defense his last season with the Jets and the Bucks' defense this season. Why don't you talk about that? Because that was spooky, man.
Well, when they hired Bowles, the party line from everyone at the Bucks is, oh, you can't count what happens at the Jets because they're so dysfunctional. Okay, Hassan Reddick, got it. But the word out of New York and the stats show the team quit. The defense quit on Bowles. Quit on Bowles. The Jets allowed an average of 30 points a game in 2018, Bowles' final season, his fourth season with the Jets over their last 10 games. They started 3-3. They finished 4-12. Sound familiar? The Bucks this year, Bowles' fourth season, over the last eight games since the bye, they've allowed 27.3 points a game. And they've lost all but one of those games. It's very similar. I hate to say guys quit, but do you see them swarming to the ball on defense? Do you see them playing with a fire? Rondé Barber talked this week about how they can't tackle and haven't been able to tackle all year. A lot of problems there, and I don't know if they're going to be solved with anything other than a coaching change. We're going to find out pretty soon, Ira, unless this team's going to the playoffs. Sage, I know you got to head out, and you have dropped your microphone. Lee, good show. We'll be back after the game at some point early next week. Probably with a Todd Bowles is Fired podcast, but you never know. We could be heading to the playoffs and keeping the Bowles train alive and keeping the Bucks' hopes alive. Because, hey, if you don't believe anything can happen in the NFL, you haven't been watching long enough. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Your first call, whenever you have any disaster at your property, 24/7, they will pick up and respond. Check out their 5-star Google reviews. And the giant, Bill Curry Ford. .com. Get shopping there now, and don't forget to reach out to GM Sean Sullivan for the Ira Kaufman discount. Go Bucks!